The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Anybody ever read that psalm? It's real short. If you sat up in the morning, you'd have it done by 30 seconds later. It's like that. You know. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Why would somebody in the Bible tell us that we should praise the Lord? Because it's good for our soul, amen? You know, God doesn't wait for our praises, but when we do praise Him, He hears us. And when He answers our prayers, can I get an amen? He hears us. I want to thank God for getting my wife and I all the way to Tennessee in a little tube of a thing that flies in the air, and got us all the way home from Tennessee in a little tube that flies in the air. Let me tell you, it's a miracle of God. I'm thanking God for that. I thank God that you're all here today. I am humbled when you come to hear the word, so I pray that you hear the word today and it moves you to a new place with God. Amen. Our UConn representatives are here today. Thank you, guys. We love you guys. And Anne-Marie here. Now, we have some new young ladies that are with us this morning. So I ask you to be on your best behavior. Elder, where's your husband? Okay, what is it?
And Andre, stay in your seat.
And Andre does just fine.
He's right behind.
And ladies, welcome to our home. Welcome to God's house. We invite you to enjoy yourself. Really enjoy yourself today and be fed off the word. So let's stand up and pray together this morning. As everything that has breath, praise the Lord. You give Him praise in this sanctuary. You give Him praise in your sanctuary. Give Him praise in your car. I'm telling you, it makes you think different things. It makes you get off the news and off the weather and off the other things that are really bothering you. And you praise God because He is there and He loves you. And He loves to hear your praises. Imagine that. You could move God in heaven by simply saying, thank you, Lord. So this morning, God, we simply say, thank you, Lord, for this day. We ask the angels to be with us this morning. We ask God to be with us, and the presence and the Holy Spirit be with us today, and receive this message in Jesus' wonderful name. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Brother Gray, I'm so glad you're... Now, for those of you that didn't hear, Jackie's mother went off to be with Jesus, and we found out this week, and Jackie's mom had a beautiful life and spent a lot of time with us listening to our music. And we love her. And so keep Jackie in your prayers.
And 93 years old.
93. I wasn't going to say that, but she was 93 years old. So. Thank you, Lord. Can you be Greg, if you would be so kind? Thank you, brother. I got it, Norm. Where's Norm? Thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. All the love. Everything that we imagine that, God gives us everything. Woo! Thank you. All we have to do is walk on faith and trust in love. Can we love one another? How many know sometimes it's not easy? It wasn't easy for Jesus, but he did it. And he showed us the way. We just got to love one another. And you know what else we have to do? You're going to get tired of hearing me, but I'm at this sermon today. You'll understand why I do it. We got to forgive one another. We have to forgive. If people just woke up this morning in every church in every city and every country here, woke up this morning and said, let's just forgive everybody for everything. Think about that. Let's just forgive everybody for what happened 150 years ago, 300 years ago, last week. Can you imagine that? People say, well, God isn't real. God doesn't work. If we did what he tells us to do, one word, forgive. I'm going to keep telling you. And like I said during the sermon today, you'll understand why I keep telling you. Because that's what God says. Tell them the message. Tell them, preach the word. And the word is forgiveness. Hallelujah. Give God praise for your name. Give it to him. Let's walk on. Could you all stand with us this morning and we're going to sing a song that touches my heart every time she sings it. And it's not in any spiritual book. It's not in any of the Christian songs, because it was a country western song sung by a man named Jim Reeves. I know that because my daddy used to play it. He played the record. And as I got older, I listened to the words and I said, wait a minute. That's Jesus standing right there behind me with his arms outstretched. Anybody ever see a picture of Jesus like this? What's he saying? He's saying, welcome to my world. conversation with God and laugh with God. Anybody do that? I do that all the time. I love to see God in everything. And I'm not talking to him. I don't hear his voice. I want you to know that. Your pastor doesn't hear his voice. When he speaks to me, it's spiritual. It's through my spirit. And I think people say, I heard his voice. I haven't heard his voice. But if he calls me, I will tell you. But I like to have fun with God. Do you do that? Brother Jim, do you have fun with God? You know, I know we're always praying and we want things. And you all came to church today to receive something. Well, receive God to have fun with God, kind of God. The other day, for instance, I texted Deacon Jim. I said, spring training. You know baseball spring training? They're spring training games. And I said to Jim, hey, the Red Sox are like 9-0. They haven't lost a game yet in spring training. And George Steinbrenner, the ex-Yankee owner, would have been, that's what he wanted for his Yankees. Now, so I texted him and said, hey, the Red Sox, they haven't won a game since. How does that have fun with God? I said to God, if I knew it was that easy for the Red Sox to lose, I'd have called him sooner. And I could hear the angels laughing at me. They were crazy, man. You see, you got to have fun with God. If I knew it was that, where's Fred? He needed to hear that. Red Sox.
You'll hear it. It's recorded.
You all tell him that later. Oh, yeah, it's recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear that, Fred? Sing to the Lord a new song. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him for his mighty acts. Hallelujah. Praise him with the sound of trumpets. This one gets a... Praise him with stringed instruments. I think that's what we just did, Greg.
Yeah.
Praise him with flutes, loud cymbals. You hear that, Norm? Loud cymbals. Praise the Lord. Praise him with clashing cymbals. And then it says this wonderful scripture, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's a beautiful message for today. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Now we have the quiz. We have a quiz every Sunday. I ask, and they're multiple choice, so don't, and nobody's going to look at you whether you get the answer. But we have a lot of, so we ask a couple of multiple choice questions, and it's questions from where, people?
Bible. Good.
Why did God highly exalt Jesus? According to Philippians, why did God highly exalt Jesus? Because he was the only begotten Son of God? Well, that's true. How about because he was perfectly fulfilled God's laws? Well, that's true. Or because he humbled himself to death on the cross? Well, that's true. But however, in Philippians, it has an answer. So I ask again, why did God highly exalt Jesus? Because he's the only begotten Son? How about because he perfectly fulfilled God's laws? How about because he humbled himself to death on the cross? Because he humbled himself to death on the cross. Humbled himself and obeyed who? His Father. He did it. That's a good one. What does Paul warn the Philippians? And this is in the book of what?
Philippians.
Good, good one. There you go. See, you're right. What are you doing? That's another quiz test, see? David doing it when I got it right. He beat you. What does Paul warn the Philippians? Beware of dogs. Beware of the leaven in the Pharisees. Or beware the Ides of March. What does Paul warn the Philippians? How about beware of dogs? Anybody beware of dogs? How about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? How about beware of the Ides of March? Just one. Thanks, Greg. Beware of the Ides of March. Beware of evildoers. Beware of dogs. Evildoers. I hate to tell you the truth, but there's evildoers out there. And there's some evildoers in church, too. I mean, in churches, I should, not this church. But there are evildoers out there, and we have to do what? Beware. Which takes me to my note that I wrote. Please always be ready in and out of of season to talk about the Bible, but beware of those who ask you a question who really don't want the answer. Some people will ask you a question, or they'll hear a scripture and they'll use it against you. You have to beware of that. Amen. Beware of when you quote scripture, just beware of the listener, whether they want to attack you or not. See, Bible says we have to use wisdom. So sometimes you have to beware of what you say, because you may know the Bible, but somebody else is looking for a way to attack the Bible. And if you use the scripture out of context, or you use the scripture and they don't understand it, that's where trouble begins. So just beware, because we're to stand on this word, and I do. I don't back down off the word. Amen. But, you know, if I'm around people who don't believe and don't love God, I don't preach to them, because, you know, they don't want to hear it. But just beware of that. I think that's important. Beware of the Ides of March. Anybody, any Irish here today? My wife. Oh, ladies, all three. I did a part Irish. Well, God be with you. God bless you. You see, Rini, I told you you should sing Danny Boy. Oh, she said my voice was, because she was on an airplane yesterday. God bless you. You know what the Ides of March is, ladies? It's the middle of the month. The word Ides simply means the middle of the month, with 30 days, the 15th would be the middle. You know where the Ides of March came from? I like this. William Shakespeare. In the play what? Julius Caesar. Where they say, beware of the Ides of March, because Julius Caesar was killed when? On the 15th of March. Beware the Ides of March. And he said, et tu, Brute. Remember that, et tu, Brute?
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know that he said that, but William Shakespeare wrote that in there. Et tu, Brute. People have said that forever. Simply means beware of the middle of March. And every month with 30 days has an Ides of March. I just wanted to, I looked that up just so I could share that. And I didn't know we were going to have 3 Irish lasses in the church. Danny Boy, I told you, Rena, you should have done. In the book of Numbers, how did the people of Israel cure themselves from snake bites? In the book of Numbers, you all know that book from beginning to end, I know you do. Who wrote the book of Numbers?
Moses.
Yes! That was part of the quiz, the elder Nancy did. How did, in the book of Numbers, how did the people of Israel cure themselves of snake bites? By the staff of Aaron, looking at a bronze snake made by Moses, or drinking water from the rock of Moses. You know when Moses hit the rock and the water came out? They drank that water and they were cured of snake bites. Were they? I don't know. Let's find out. In the book of Numbers, how did the people of Israel cure themselves? By the staff of Aaron. Remember Aaron's rod? How about looking at a bronze snake made by Moses? That one? How about drinking the water from the rock of Moses? Remember that one? God told Moses to make this bronze snake and put it at the end of the staff and hold it up, and anybody that looked at the snake would not, the poison wouldn't affect them. By looking at a bronze snake made by Moses. That's a great story. That's interesting. I love those kind of stories. I got one more for this morning. According to Hebrews, what besides the ministry are Christians urged to do? According to Hebrews, what besides ministry are Christians urged to do? Resist the world, gather together, or pray? According to Hebrews, what besides ministry are Christians urged to do? And who are Christians? Please, everybody raise your hand. What do you urge? How about resist the world? Resist the world? How about gather together? Gather together? How about pray? Well, when you gather together, what do?
Pray.
So before you pray, what are you? Gather together. Do not forsake gathering together. People say, I watch Christian stuff on TV, and I say, that's great. But you go to church on Sunday, no, I watch Christian TV on TV. No, that's not gathering together. That's not being with family. That's not a flock, building a flock. Amen. And I told you, it's not the numbers, it's the heart of the church. It's the passion of the people and the faith of the people. And you only get faith when you come to church and you pray together and you see miracles happen in this church. Amen? We talked about you guys last week, Norman and Jenny. We saw how many times you've been to Canada and back. And here you're sitting. God's with you every time you go. And we need to say, thank you, Lord. We need to thank you for every day. And when you get in the habit of thanking, Lord, you get in the habit of seeing what? Miracles. And when you see miracles, you trust.
trust who more? God. You see the circle? So God says you need to gather together, be with other believers, and have joy in church. I love that word, joy. Because who said it? Jesus. What did he say? So my what can be full? My joy can be full. Woo. Crazy, right? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'll give yourself a nice hand. You did good with those. Nobody said Isaac March. Greg raised his hand. He did it for me. So I'm doing it for you. This morning we're going to read from the book of Isaiah. I mean, I can do all the reading. We're not going to go. But it's chapter 6 in the book of Isaiah. How many know Isaiah? You ever heard Isaiah? We should be able to get through this. This is not very long. It says in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Hallelujah. That's a lot right there, amen? In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Wow. Uzziah, the king, died. Do you ever wonder why he started with Uzziah? We'll find out. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the what? The temple. So he starts with Uzziah. So I had to look up Uzziah because, Jim, I always want to know why they, when they write what they're writing and why he wrote that. So who was this Uzziah guy? He was a king. He became king at 16 years old. He reigned for 52 years. It said in 2 Kings, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Amen, right? And it said in Chronicles, he sought God in the days of Zechariah and he prospered. So he was a pretty good king for 52 years. This Uzziah was alive. This is great. He was the son of Amaziah. A-M-A-Z-I-A-H. And say that with me. Amaziah. He was the son of Amaziah. His name was Uzziah. But if you read 2 Chronicles, his name is Ahaziah. Don't ask me why. I'm just giving you the name. His name was Ahaziah and that. But I'm thinking, Isaiah, why didn't you tell me about it? It must have been important, and you're going to get to understand. He died. He was a great king. 52 years. Everything he touched prospered. Why? Because he followed God. He did it right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Can you imagine that? If you do what is right in the sight of the Lord, you're going to prosper. People say, well, God wants you to be rich. He wants you to prosper. How can you lead anybody to God if you're living a life that's not full of prosperity, not full of good, not full of, you know, not just wealth, but goodness. You follow God, you have goodness. Praise the Lord. And then he said, and there's three themes in this little chapter. I saw the Lord, and the second theme is whom shall I send, and the third theme is whom will go for us. We're going to get to that. But he says, I see the Lord sitting on a throne. You all see that? He said, I see the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Now, what's a throne? Listen, it's important to read all this and understand. What's a throne? It's a great seat, a seat of royalty, a royal seat. It's a seat of dignity, high and lifted up, exalted above all. Of course our Lord should be, amen. How many want God to be high and lifted up? How many? He's saying, I see the throne, of, and God sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, exalted above all. That means this. You thought about this. That means there is a place called heaven. He went and he saw God sitting on a throne. He wasn't sitting on a cloud. What was he sitting on? A throne, which the throne was where? In heaven, which means heaven is what? A place. And you're going to be there. Why, I thought you'd get crazy for that one. You're all going to be there. You're going to be in paradise with God. It's a place. Not just floating around. And Isaiah was not the only one in your Bible to see or write about the throne. Micaiah writes in 1 Kings, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. That's a great story too. Job, brother Job said, he covers the face of his throne. And David said, the Lord's throne is in heaven. Let me read that again. David said, the Lord's throne is where?
In heaven.
Who's going to heaven?
Yes.
If you're not sure, say, I love you, Jesus. Come into my heart. That's what you say. Confess it. Jeremiah talks about Ezekiel. And one of my favorite people talked about the God was Daniel. Anybody ever read about the, what a great name he gave God the Father. He called him Ancient of Days. What a great name. What a great name for God the Father. Daniel wrote about it in Daniel 9. He wrote in the description of his hair and his beard, and he called him Ancient of Days. Anybody ever hear that before? I love, there's a song called Ancient of Days. And my other, with my church that I was in before, the music director, young girl, brought that song to us. And I had no idea what we're singing about Ancient of Days. So I did what I do. I looked it up. I said, wow, I love this song. I love the Ancient of Days. And that's God. That's God the Father. I'm thinking, what a great title. But Daniel saw it. Who else saw him? John in Revelation. John mentions the word throne 35 times in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love this part. I don't want to miss this part, too. It said his robe filled the temple. Can you picture that? This is your God. I'm talking about your God. I mean, this makes me so crazy happy. When I'm thinking about it, I'm talking about your God. Amen? I get goosebumps. His robe filled the temple. If God the Father was sitting up here right now, his robe would fill this temple. I mean, there would be no place for you to walk because his robe would fill it. I mean, that is awesome. Who doesn't want that for your God? Who wouldn't say that? That's my God. I love that. Picture that. That's what the Bible is, like a picture book. But you supply the art. I just made that up. No, I just did.
I like it.
The Bible is a picture book and you have to make the art. The robe filled the temple. He's looking at it. Look at it. He didn't miss it because he wrote about it. He saw God on the throne, God the Father, but the robe. If God were here today, the robe would fill the temple. I want my God to be like that. That's what I see God like. Wow. He wasn't the only one to write about it. I think that's important to know. David wrote about it. Jeremiah, Daniel wrote about it. I see the throne. Because the throne is a place. And then I realized why Isaiah told me that King Uzziah died. Remember I told you he was a great king, 52 years? He ruled and followed. Because when he died, what were the people going to be? Sad. Imagine that. The people living under the rule of King Uzziah. When he died, they must have been fearful. They must have been worried who's going to take his place. They must have been sad. And so Isaiah's saying, hey, we got a king sitting on a throne. We loved Uzziah. He did great because he followed the king sitting on the throne. Amen? So he mentioned Uzziah and because that was a fact. And then he mentioned God sitting on the throne for them. Say, hey, don't worry. He's with God now. But God is still sitting on the throne. That's why he mentioned Uzziah. That's why he told the people, don't worry. Every time you read in the Bible, it said, don't worry, don't fret, don't have anxiety. But we do, because we're in the place. The king is gone, but fear not, worry not. God is sitting on his throne today. I thought for sure this is where you'd all be yelling, hooting, and howling. All right, I wrote it down there. Right there. They're going to hoot and holler when you say that. Give them a minute, because when you say that God is sitting on his throne, Pastor Larry, the whole church is going, yeah! The train of his robe filled the temple. If he were here right now, it would fill this temple. How magnificent. We would want nothing less for our God. That's what I'm saying. We'd expect nothing less for our God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Seraphim. S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. What are those? Those are angels. And one cried to another and said, that line you could miss. I want you to, let me read that line because that line's easy to miss. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Ooh-wee. Isaiah said, there's these angels, seraphim. Interesting. That's the only place in the Bible, in this book, is where you see seraphim. The only place, because the other ones were cherubim. Remember that? Remember the Ark of the Covenant, when God makes the ark and he has to make the angels, the cherubim, watching over? So some people say, are the cherubim and the seraphim the same? I say, yes, they are. But this is the only place. Now, is that worth arguing about? No, it's not. They were angels ministering to God. That's the fact. Amen? That's the truth. But it's interesting that Isaiah called them that, and they're nowhere else in the Bible. They call them that, but they're the same identical way, six wings like the cherubim and those angels who minister to God. What do, church? They minister to God. It said there's six wings being created by God to attend to the throne. According to Revelation, they never rest. That's their job. That's their love. Anybody ever do something you love, that's it. Two covered their face. Why did two cover their face? Because nobody could look at God. It said, no man shall see me and live. Exodus 33. Even his created angels could not look at his face. So two of the wings, they covered their face. And two covered their feet. That was just to humble themselves. And the other two, they did what with?
Flew.
Thank you, baby. They flew it. Somebody painted them. Seraphim and cherubim, again, they're the same. And this is the only place. I believe they're the same. I mean, if somebody, if another pastor called me up tomorrow and said they weren't, I'd say, okay, what difference is it? They're in the Bible, I read about it, and I can see they got six wings. So you call them what you want, I'll call them what I want, and they're the same thing. But that's great. And listen, they said what? Holy, holy, holy. This is interesting too. Is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory. That's what they said. And it said, the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Whose voice cried out? It was the angel. You got to see that. That's what they, because that little line I told you about. And one cried to another. See, the angels were saying, holy, holy, holy. That's what they're yelling. Holy, holy, holy. And that's awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The whole world is full of his glory. Notice that. They didn't talk to God. You notice that? And why is that important, Pastor? Because they were doing something. They didn't talk to God. They were proclaiming his greatness. Amen? Thank you, Lord. It tells us what, Isaiah tells us what they said. That what they said was so loud and so hard that they shook the doors. But they do not talk directly to God. They just continue to proclaim his greatness. Isn't that awesome? They say, holy, holy, holy. How many times? Three times. God is holy, set apart. Now, some people to say, when you read this, and I hope you go home and read it, or maybe you're reading with me now. Holy, holy, holy. Some people say, well, that meant the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, I don't see it like that. I mean, there's something later that I do see. But they say it three times for effect. When you say something the first time, somebody might hear you. For the second time, somebody might hear you. Amen? But you say it that third time, and then they hear you. So I don't necessarily mean that because they could say it 300 times, and it'd still be right. Amen? That God is holy 300 times. He is set apart 3,000 times. That's how I look at it. You don't have to look at it that way. But they're saying holy, holy, holy for effect. And like I said, when I wrote that down, they could say it 300 times and it would be correct. God is holy, filled with smoke. And that's another thing. It was filled with, of course, we talked about this last week. Why would the temple be filled with smoke? To hide who? God, the Father's face. Because if his glory shined out, it would destroy everything. His face is so magnificent, and the glory of God that he has. How many times you read Moses that the smoke covered the mountain? We talked about that. Why did the smoke cover the mountain? Because Moses, and they couldn't look at his glory. So the smoke was like a protection. And it said the smoke filled the temple. That is correct spiritually. That's correct what the word has told us. And what Isaiah said is along loud, but it wasn't loud. Amen. It wasn't like loud, but it was so loud, it was powerful. Shook the temple. What was Isaiah thinking? Well, we know that. Why do we know that, Faith? Because it tells us right now. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What does he say? I'm really in big trouble now. According to the Bible, Isaiah's in filthy rags. He's a great God. He's saying, I'm undone. I'm standing here in front of God the Father, listening to the angels, hearing them all say that, and who am I? I'm a sinner. My lips have sinned. I'm unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips. And here I stand next to God. That's pretty humble, amen? But it's the truth. If you're standing next to God, you're going to feel a little humble. You're standing next to God, you're going to think of something you thought about 2 weeks ago saying, I hope you don't remember that. Or something you might have said a month ago saying, I hope you don't remember that. Or something you watched on TV last night, I hope he wasn't watching with me. He was humble. Whoa, it's me. Are you kidding? I'm just this guy, Isaiah, and I'm standing in front of God. Woe is me. I am undone. I, me, a sinner, unworthy. Nothing about me is worthy. Here I am. In the presence of God himself, he saw the angels. He saw the throne. He sees God. And there's no place to what?
Hide.
I love this. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. And said, your iniquities is taken away, your sin is purged. The angel had to get the coal. Where did he get the coal? The burning coals from the... And did he pick it up with his hand? No, he didn't. Did he pick up with his wing? No, he used one of the tongs. Anybody ever do any barbecuing, you know? He had to pick it up with the tongue, and he goes over to Isaiah, and he's going to do what with the touch of the lips? Ouch. See, what happened? What happened before the angel got there? Well, see, this is not written. This is what you got. This is another piece of artwork. He's saying, woe is me, amen? He's saying, I have unclean lips. I live among unclean people. So what are you missing there? God heard him. The angels heard him, and God sends the angel. So how do you know he sent the angel? Read it for yourself. What, did the angel decide to go do it himself? No, the angel doesn't decide to do anything on his own. Who tells the angel? God. So there's the picture, another art. God saying, get that and bring it over there. Did the angel purge his sin? No. Who purges his sin? God. But the angel can't touch the coal. Why? Because it's what? Hot. So he uses a tool, picks it up, goes over, and he touches, I love this, he touches his mouth. How'd that feel? Yeah, you think? Does Isaiah tell us how it feels? No. Why? Because it was a cleansing from God. Wow. Are you with me on this? He says, he touches his mouth with the red hot coal. Isaiah doesn't scream in horror. Doesn't scream in pain, amen? Because it was a cleansing from God, his sins. God is saying your iniquities, your sins are purged. Isaiah, God has burned those sins away. There was no pain. Of course there was no pain. He purged his sins away. When we confess our sins, when we carry the fire of death, imagine that, right? When you confess to God something that you did wrong, you're carrying fire of death with you. You're going to God with the fire of sin and whatever. And don't look at big sins, little sins. Just know that you have to confess to God. That's the best thing to know, that, Lord, forgive me for my iniquities. Maybe you think your iniquities are small. Great, good. But God wants to hear your confession. That's all. He wants you to know that he knows you know that he knows that you know that he knows that you know. That's what it is. Truly, I know you're laughing, but God wants to know that you know that He knows and He knows that you know. So when God forgives you, how many have ever been forgiven by God? Please, all you raise your hand, please. Thank you. Did it hurt? No. Was the sin fire? Yes. But when God removed it, He removed the what? The fire. So He's removing fire from Isaiah. He's saying your sins have been purged. That's a great... Of course there's no pain. When we confess our sins, when we carry the fire of death, God removes the flames. When we, who? Us. He does. When you confess, He does. What does He do? Forgive you. You are cleansed white as snow.
It's done.
How many times does He have to forgive you?
One.
Each time, I get it, I know. You give Him seven times seven a day, but when He forgives you, you are clean. The fire is gone. There is no pain. Anybody ever have pain when you were forgiven? You carried it for nothing. Because God forgave you. So when we carry the fire to death, God removes the flames. When we, He does. Cleanse, white as snow. Wow. And this is getting close to the end now. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, notice He's not talking to Isaiah. He heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Every pastor and every church and every altar and whatever religion would stand on the altar and say, whom can I send and whom will go for us? Anybody? Who would say they would go? And I love that, us. Did you see that, Jim? Us? Who's us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's where I believe He's mentioned in the Trinity. That word Trinity is not in the Bible everywhere. But that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We call it the Trinity. But He is saying, who will go for us? So He's not us. He's God. And His Son, and then the Holy Spirit, that makes us. But I think that's real interesting. It's another little picture you have to paint when He said, who will go for us? When I say to you that every pastor in every church would like to say that, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? But what does Isaiah say? Here I am. No, here am I. Send me. God. First of all, anybody catch that? God is asking a question. See, how many ever thought about God asking the question? That means that He didn't know the answer to it?
No.
He's asking us a question. He's saying, whom shall I send? I ask you this one. Who can God send? Isaiah, here am I. Send me. Saying, I'm ready right now. Right now to be ready. That was powerful. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Wow. Good Lord. If I said to you, would you go for God today? Would you serve God today? I pray you all say yes. But Isaiah jumped on it right there. Then I said, send me. And he said, who said he? God. Said to Isaiah, go and tell this people. This is pretty cool. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. It's interesting. Have you heard that before? That was sarcasm. Anybody understand sarcasm? He was being sarcastic. He said, yeah, you just keep on going and don't understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Yeah, knock yourself up. Keep on doing it. That was sarcasm. It's interesting when you look at it that way, because he's just saying, if that's what you want to be, I'm going to leave you alone to do it. If you're so bent on being that way, I'm going to let you do it. So keep on doing it. Keep on. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Make the heart of this people dull. That's interesting. And their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. let me make the heart of this people know and hear. He's saying, you have one mission. One mission, Isaiah. Don't force it on anybody. Don't demand that they hear you. But demand, make sure of one thing. And this is really cool. I want to make sure I get this right. He said, don't demand that. When you're talking to somebody about God, you don't demand that they hear you. You don't force it on them. But you say it over and over and over again so they can't come back to you and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me this was wrong? Why? See, you say it so much that they're tired of hearing it, amen? That's your mission. Not to talk them into it, not to demand that they listen, but to make sure that you know that they know that you know that they know. Again, that's what he's saying to Isaiah. He's saying until this, and make the heart of the people dull and your ears heavy and shut your eyes. People have said to me, you preach the same thing all the time. I say, yes, I'm preaching the word of God. I'm preaching the truth. Forgive your neighbor and everything. God can fix the world with one word, forgiveness. I said it 100 times. I'll say it 1,000 times until somebody stands up and hears it and says, that's right. That's what we need to do. Forgive one another. People are still mad about something that happened 150 years ago. They don't know the people. They're not related to the people. But somehow there's something in it for them. I tell you that forgiveness doesn't work in this world because there's nothing in it for you. When you forgive, nobody makes any money. When you forgive, there's no responsibility. You're both clean. You're both ready to go. Whatever. But he's telling Isaiah, make the heart of the people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes. That's your mission. That's our mission. Hallelujah. Not to force them, not to demand, but that they hear you, that they feel. They cannot deny until they're sick and tired of hearing it. Anybody ever say that? I'm sick and tired of hearing that? That's what he's telling Isaiah to do. Why? Well, the answer is easy. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. That's where a church should be crying on your knees. How beautiful is that? Look, the sarcasm before was interesting. Maybe you've never read it and read it again tonight and see the sarcasm. You want to be that way, go be that way. You want to be that way. But he's saying, I'm going to send Isaiah to talk to everybody. Imagine that. And he said, if he gets one or two, if you talk to people every day, every day, every day, like I say, and you got no response on one day, and the next day you don't get, and then on the third day you get one person who will listen. And maybe the fourth day you'll get somebody who's interested. That's what God is telling us. Every day. That's what he's telling Isaiah. If you get one person this week, one person to come to God, one person that wants to read the word, you have succeeded in your mission. And just like God said. And here's a scripture. Angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner. Angels in heaven rejoice over what? One sinner. So one is pretty big to God, amen? It's not the loneliest number in the world to God. If you get one sinner to repent this week, you have performed a miracle. For who? For God. No matter what they say, Isaiah, no matter why they strayed, no matter why they turned away from me, Isaiah, you get one person and I will heal them, I will cleanse them, I will accept them. So you just keep doing the mission. You can't demand, you can't force, but if you get one person, you just tell these people with the dull ears and the hearts about God, the Bible, and about Jesus in the Bible, and about good, and about healing, and about love. Somebody will listen to you. You keep praying for this church. You pray for people to come to this church. God will hear that. Somebody will come to this church. Somebody will come and say, this is where I belong, to hear the word of God. I want rejoice. I want to go to church and be happy. I want to hear something good. I want to hear the truth. I want to hear what God said. And he's saying, we got to be out there. That's what we're to do. He said, if one person, one of those people says, you know what, Isaiah? I hear you finally. I finally get it. You said something today, and I finally get it, and I want to follow your God. The angels in heaven rejoice. Rejoice. The angels in heaven. You can move heaven, you know, whether they want to. And it's getting closing now. Here we go. I love this part. Isaiah asked the same question you would ask. What would you ask him?
How long do you want me to do this? You know, Lord, it's really hard. What Isaiah is saying, Greg, it's really hard to preach about God. People aren't listening. People are doing their own thing. People got Facebook and they got websites and they got this and they got a cell phone and they got, it's really hard, God. Nobody's going to church anymore. Talking about you is really hard. People are coming against me because I'm talking about you. It's really hard. How long? Anybody ever feel like you're wasting? I've tried to get people to come to church. I ask all my friends and they don't come. I feel like I'm wasting my time. Are you wasting your time? No. You're doing the mission. I told Isaiah, until. And he asks and he gets the answer. You want to know the answer from God? Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitation. Inhabitants. Until the houses are without a man and the land is utterly desolate. How long? As long as it takes. Until the cities are laid waste, land is utterly desolate. He's saying, Isaiah, and he's telling you today at Second Congregational, the little group, your church, he's saying, as long as it takes, you keep doing it. Their ears are dull. I get that. God is saying, I understand that they have all these other activities, but you have a mission. And your mission is easy. In a way, you just got to tell them about God. Hey, we went to church and we had a lot of fun and something good, music or anything positive. I love my brothers and sisters in church. We're a small church, but everybody knows your name. Anything. But you just keep doing that. That's your mission. Isaiah, keep on doing it till the end. And I've said this for 2 weeks, this is the third week. I want to tell you to write it on your refrigerator. God gives up on nobody. Nobody. He gives up on no one. If God doesn't give up on anybody, we better not give up on anybody. And he told Isaiah, just do what I commanded you to do. Just do that. That is the mission. Give him praise, church. Got all kinds of notes. You all know what I'm talking about. My granddaughter has answered the prayer. She's going to church. She's in church today, 3 weeks in a row. She goes to a Bible study at the church. She wants to meet kids her own age who believe in God. She works at a store, has acquaintances, not too many friends yet. You know how that is. But she decided, she told Nan, I want to go to church. She's meeting new people in church. I couldn't be any happier that she has a desire to do that. And that's what we pray for. You know, God hears your prayer. He never forgets what you pray. Sometimes he sees it that you don't believe it anymore. You're not even praying it anymore. But he doesn't even forget that prayer. I can tell you funny stories how he answered prayers 20 years after I asked for them. And him and I would have a laugh about that. Because he knows me. He knows who I am. He doesn't want me to change. He wants me to do better, to read more, to be better focused on my iniquities, just like he wants you. But he likes who you are because he created who you are. He just wants to have time with you. He wants to have time alone with you. He wants, even if it's 5 minutes a day, and sometimes I don't know how to read the word. Yes, sure, you open up and if you find something that sounds really complicated, turn the page. There's a story in there somewhere. Maybe something John did or something Paul said. Or just open up to a psalm or a proverb. One proverb. You might find one proverb and say, I'm going to hang on to that today. See, that's why I say you write it on your refrigerator. God gives up on nobody. When you wake up every day and you look at your refrigerator before you open up to get the milk out for the cereal, you say, God gives up on nobody. I better not give up on it. See, that's how that works. My refrigerator's got pictures of my grandkids and notes and everything. Because she doesn't, you don't want to, forget like she would. But God wants that with you too. Jesus wants that with you. Welcome to my world, won't you come on in? That's God, that's church. So ladies, we're so humbled that you chose us today, and I'm glad you saw us on the green, but that's what church is all about, being closer to God and being closer to your brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Give him praise. We're just going to do this in remembrance of what Jesus, the Lord's Supper. This is, the Bible says, called it the Lord's Supper. What we say in our church is just remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. I look over there because of the three crosses. But what Jesus did for us on the cross, that's what this is for. He said, do this in remembrance of me.
How hard is it to do this? It's harder to get this little cracker out than it is to do that.
It's even harder to get it out in one piece than to do the rest. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, said, this is my body. You have no idea what's going to happen to me, but then my body's going to be torn for you. He said, take this bread and eat this and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. I don't have any hot coals to pass around this morning. So I'll just simply say, Lord, forgive us for our iniquities. The Spirit of the Lord, please fight and clean us, Lord. Cleanse us for our iniquities, our words, our actions, our deeds, Lord. For we sin against you. So cleanse us, Lord, so we can receive this sacrament of your blood. Pour that wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, according to Matthew, for the remission of our sins. Let's accept this in Jesus' name, church. Be healed this morning, church. May your prayers be answered this morning. May God hear you this morning in a way that you've never heard him hear you. May you feel his presence different than you ever have, because that's our God. Pray that for you. That wasn't so hard, was it? Give God praise. Let's hear your praise. Yeah. Now, thank you, Lord. Any announcements this morning, anybody? Brother Fred.
I just want to say thank you to Deacon Sergio for bringing the water in.
He's sitting, he's got the offering. Deacon Sergio, thank you so much. That's why he's a deacon. The Lord make you, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, I love that prayer. Thank you. Brother Sippy, come and sing about America.
Everybody sing.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, like before. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
God bless you all. We'll see you all soon.